Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 210 in your Pew Bible or page 110 in the Story Bible. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of whose two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The names of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion had also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. She then started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." She then kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband, even if I thought there was hope for me. Even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Invite the children to come forward for a moment. I'm going to be reading a book, and I really want you to be able to see all the pictures. So I want you to come right up here. I'm actually going to sit in this chair and read it today. So come sit right in front of me. The altar rail is closed, so come all the way around and come up here and have a seat. And make sure that you can see this book. The book that I am reading today is called The Invisible String, and I think you'll see why we're reading this. Liza and Jeremy, the twins, were asleep one calm and quiet night. Suddenly, it began to rain very hard. Thunder rumbled until it got so loud that it woke them up. "Mommy, Mommy," they cried as they ran to her. "Don't worry, you two. It's just the storm making all that noise. Go back to bed." "We want to stay close to you," said Jeremy. "We're scared." Mom said, "You know, we're always together, no matter what." "But how can we be together when you're out here and we're in bed?" said Liza. Mom held something out in front of them and said, "This is how." Rubbing their sleepy eyes, the twins came closer to see what Mom was holding. "I was about your age when my mommy first told me about the invisible string." "I don't see a string," said Jeremy. "You don't need to see the invisible string. People who love each other are always connected by a very special string made of love." "But if you can't see it, how do you know it's there?" asked Liza. "Even though you can't see it with your eyes, you can feel it with your heart and know that you are always connected to everyone you love. When you're at school and you miss me, your love travels all the way along the string until I feel it tug on my heart. And when you tug it right back, we feel it in our hearts." "Does Jasper the cat have an invisible string?" Liza asked. "She sure does," said Mom. "And best friends like me and Lucy?" asked Liza. "Best friends too. How far can the string reach?" "Anywhere and everywhere," Mom said. Then Jeremy quietly asked, "Can my string reach all the way to Uncle Brian in heaven?" "Yes, even there." "Does the string go away when you're mad at us?" "Never," said Mom. "Love is stronger than anger, and as long as love is in your heart, the string will always be there." "Even when you get older and can't agree about things like what movie to see or what game to play or what time to go to bed." "That's right. You guys are supposed to be in bed." And with that, they all laughed at Mom, chased the twins back to their beds. Within a few minutes, they were asleep. And even though the storm was still making the same loud noises outside, they slept. And they started dreaming of all the invisible strings they have and all the strings their friends have and their friends have until everyone in the world was connected by invisible strings. And from deep inside, they could now clearly see that no one is ever alone. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for the invisible strings that tie us to each other and that tie us to our families and that tie us to you. We love you. Amen. If you are 3, 4, or in kindergarten, you can go with Pastor Shannon and Pastor Maggie. Yeah. 3, 4, 5, or if you're 6 and in kindergarten, you can go with Pastor Maggie. Yes, Laura, that means you. And you can go to Children's Church. Don't you love that story? And the way I could just sit down and not preach, we would be fine. You would have gotten all that you needed from that. The book of Ruth starts out with tragedy right at the very beginning. It's in the first verse. Did you hear it? "There was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem has to travel from his hometown to the country of Moab." There's actually a lot of irony in this passage. The name Bethlehem literally means the house of bread, and yet here this family is having to move because food is scarce. Many immigrants today know this same burden, having to move when food is scarce, and the grief that comes when you have to leave all that you know and hold dear. And what's more, that for this family of Jewish heritage, they're moving to Moab, which is, they considered, an enemy territory. And once there, the three men are safe for 10 years. Then the father, Elimelech, dies. And then after marrying the Moabites, Ruth and Orpah, the two sons die, leaving these three women alone. And at the center of the tragedy is Naomi, who at this point in the story has lost both her husband and her two sons, who believes that she's too old to start over again, and she cries out in anguish and in grief, believing that the hand of God has turned against her. She tells Ruth and Orpah, go on back home. And when her daughters-in-law start to protest against leaving her, she wails, why would you stay with me? Her worldview is that God has caused this awful thing to happen to her. She is in deep pain and anguish and sorrow. She probably misses her husband and her sons, but also her status, her new status as an older widow with no surviving male heirs during this era, means that she's probably going to be economically destitute. At first, both daughters-in-law cling to Naomi, weeping. No, they both say, don't make us leave you. We can't. But Naomi presses them again, giving them more reasons to leave, and Orpah turns and walks away. To be clear, Orpah's decision to return to her family is not bad. Just like all of us grieve differently, the way forward after death is different for Orpah, but no less caring and compassionate. Orpah decided that what she needed to move on to the next stage of life was to return to her family. And so while she protests at first, Naomi's reasoning made sense to her, and she returns back to her family, a legitimate way of maintaining herself as a widow in those days when they didn't have life insurance or home equity. I like what Amy Baxter says. She says, Orpah is the boundary queen. She wasn't taking on the plight of Naomi when she herself was knee-deep in grief. She knew what she needed to do for her own grief and did it. So Orpah returns home and turns to those in her family that can be there for her. Ruth picks a different way forward, one that acknowledges the trauma of what just happened, but imagined a way forward that comes through Naomi and Ruth supporting one another. When pressed a second time by Naomi to leave, Ruth responds with this beautiful, poetic vow that we read today. This is probably the best-known part of the book of Ruth. It's often read at weddings. For Ruth, the answer was to stay with Naomi, but not only does Ruth stay, she goes all in. We don't know the real reason why she does this. Perhaps she stays with Naomi because she is reminded of her husband, Naomi's son, whom she's just lost. I don't know about you, but when I experience grief, it helps me to be around the people that knew that person who we've lost. When you're with family and friends of your loved ones who died, you can share the stories about what made life worth living. You're with a group of people who knew what made that person sparkle, what made that person laugh, or what those last days were like for them. They are sad, and you are sad, and you're not having to answer any of those annoying questions like, are you okay, or what's wrong, because they know that you're not okay, and that everything is wrong. We don't know the reason that Ruth goes all in, but spoiler alert, it saves their life. I'm not going to go too much farther into the book of Ruth because Will is preaching on that next week and I don't want to steal his sermon. But I do want to get to the part where Ruth turns to Naomi and sees her way forward as taking care of Naomi. On this All Saints Day, we remember a whole host of people whom we love dearly. With Charlotte's permission, I am wearing Reverend James Sewell's robe. It's a little big on me, but I love it. When I think about James, I remember that in the days following our son's arrival to our house, it was the great formula shortage of 2022, and James and Charlotte drove all over Nashville and beyond, I think 12 stores, looking for the specialty formula that my son needed to make sure that we had what he needed to eat. I see some of these other names on the front of the bulletin, and I remember the mission trips that we took together. I remember the fellowship at church events. Some of these folks were on the Mercy and Justice Committee. I remember the hard conversations and the laughter. And I turned to you all to remember these people because you knew them. You know who and what we've lost. And even more than my grief is the grief each one of you have when you read this list of names and see your dad or your mom, your spouse, your sibling, your child. And in the midst of that great and terrible grief, I have seen you all turn to one another and support one another. When tragedy strikes, and it is always tragic, even in the best of circumstances, you have been there for each other. You have served on the funeral committee. You have brought food to one another. You have been a listening ear and a support. You have cried alongside those who mourned, and you have journeyed with one another, literally and figuratively. And when it is your turn to grieve, my prayer is that others will turn to you and give you the care and the words that you need to take the next step forward. I pray that you allow others to become that listening ear, the generous shoulder, the hands and feet of God. God is not an active character in this book in the same way that God is an active character in Genesis or Exodus or even in the book of Judges. And many people ask, where is God in the book of Ruth? And the answer to that question is not in the events of God reaching down and making things okay, but in the relationships. God is a God of relationship that centers the love of God right alongside love of each other. God is in the love of Orpah's family, who will welcome her back and give her a safe place to land, and in the love of Ruth and Naomi, who will find a way forward by turning toward one another. Today, as we make our way to this sacred and holy table for communion, we remember that when we receive communion, we receive not just with those who are here or around the world like we did last month, but with all of the saints that have gone before us. This table, this is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, where somehow in the mystery of God, we will get to be with all of those who have gone on before us. I love what Dr. Lisa Hancock writes about this day. She said, All Saints is a time of remembering, yes, but also a time of remembering, of reaffirming our shared identity as the body of Christ, knowing that nothing can separate us from God or through God, one another, not even death. So today, as we go to this table, we remember the lives that these saints lived, the faith that they've passed on to us, the love that they shared with us. For us in the United Methodist Church, saints aren't necessarily people who lived a perfect life, but they were people that lived with great faithfulness and courage. And grounded in this history, we honor their legacy by continuing their work here in this space. Let us continue the work of turning toward one another in grief, holding in tension the great joy and hope that we also have in Christ. For after all, we are not like those who grieve and have no hope. We worship a God who has defeated death and gathers us all back into the mystery. In the name of God who made us for love, the Redeemer who conquered death itself, and the Holy Spirit who turns to us and sustains us on our worst days. Amen.